They lived seemingly ordinary lives in American cities and suburbs, Cambridge, Massachusetts, Montclair, New Jersey, Yonkers, New York. They worked for a real estate company, a travel agency, a Spanish language newspaper. They had children in local schools. But according to the FBI, the 11 people arrested this week were actually spies for Russia, operating under deep cover. To talk about what this case tells us about spying in the post-Cold War era, we're joined by historian John Earl Haynes. He's co-author of the book Spies, the Rise and Fall of the KGB in America. John Earl Haynes, welcome to the program.
Delighted to be here.
And of course, we are in a post-Soviet era now. How common would it be, do you think, for the Russians now to be using people like this in this illegal deep cover way?
Well, it is extremely unusual. Certainly in the Cold War, the Soviet Union launched very large intelligence operations against the United States and its allies. But most of the officers in the Cold War era were not deep penetration agents, not sleeper agents of the kind that most of these appear to be. They were not really burrowing into American society, assuming a long-term false identity. They were assuming a false identity for a short term. These recent arrests are much longer kinds of investments by Russian SVR, their Foreign Intelligence Service. Now, these kind of sleeper agents are common in spy fiction. Mm-hmm. I mean, anyone who's read a number of fiction novels, you run these kind of long-term sleeper agents are a favorite topic, the kind of romantically sinister. But while they're common in spy literature, in actual spy history, they're very rare. And so this is a very unusual action by the SVR. It's a very expensive long-term investment, and it's really blown up in their face.
How much training or investment would be involved in an operation like this?
Well, one would expect in most cases a very great deal. The person has to be trained as a professional intelligence officer. They must have extremely intensive language training, particularly if they're going to take on the persona of being a native-born American. That means they have to be able to speak English virtually without accent, and that is very difficult to do. Obtaining the false documents that these people need to establish their false identity, that is not cheap. It's very expensive. Further, you must maintain contact with them. And this is not, you just can't send them letters or talk on the telephone with them. This means covert communications, which is expensive, highly expensive. And so this is a long-term and a very expensive commitment.
Do you think this case tells us anything new about Russian interests?
To my mind, there are two things surprising about it. One is the Russian willingness to make such an enormous investment in what is a very long-term operation. The other is that these illegals appear to have been largely targeted toward government and policy matters. It has been my impression that most Russian intelligence interest more recently has been in science and technology and industrial matters, including military industrial matters, but not so much in government and diplomatic political matters. But these agents seem to have been targeted more toward that, which I do find a bit surprising.
John Earl Haynes, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be here.
John Earl Haynes is co-author of the book Spies, the Rise and Fall of the KGB in America. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.